You'll have, there's a handout out there, is an outline. I used a form of this as a handout to our neighbors last night. We had about 30 of them over for a Christmas party at our home, and it was a real blessed time. We had a good time, and trying to put something in the way of some salt and light into our neighborhood. But we have quite a bit, and we thank the Lord for that. We have enough ministers. We have Presbyterian ministers. We have Episcopalian ministers, retired. We have Baptist ministers. And then there's me. I don't really know where I fit into all that, but it was a real blessing. We enjoyed ourselves. So this morning I want to talk about God with us. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. I like what Spurgeon said about that. He said, we know indeed it was for the whole world because he made sure he interpreted what it meant. And although there are three words in the English, there was only one word that they used for the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Hebraic, and which is basically probably much of the language that was used during the time of Christ. And these three words, though, speak volumes to us and volumes to the world. And so we don't want to be pretentious in believing that we can cover all of what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. And as Spurgeon says, you have to ransack all creation, and then you only touch the hem of the garment of Christ and who he is. And whether we look at a telescope, heavens declare the glory of God, or we look into a microscope and all the intricacies of what we see, that speaks of Christ. And so and many times we do indeed enjoy the exposition of a passage of Scripture. But when you're talking about Christ and you're talking about God with us, the context is the Bible. I mean, you take the context is all the Scriptures, because he is the Word. And so we're going to do that this morning, and perhaps if we can even get close to the hem of the garment to encourage us. I recently got a newsletter from my high school, which is a Catholic high school, and they recite somewhat of a sermon and gave a title of a sermon that St. Francis wrote, and it says, "Come closer to the crib, come closer to the crib." And so this morning we want to take a little closer look into the cradle which held Christ. And we see him as creator, we see the cross, we see the coming conquering king. And may we indeed practice the presence of this God with us all year round. His presence was the original Christmas present, and it's truly the gift that keeps on giving, is Christ. And so let's pray. Father, we ask that you'll be, in a special sense, present with us. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, challenge us, challenge our minds, our hearts, our intellects, and indeed deal with our pride and our indifference. And may we truly embrace the awesomeness of the concept that God became man, even though we don't, as already articulated this morning, as Brother Jones has shared, that indeed we can't really take it all in. Lord, may we bathe our hearts and minds in the Scriptures that sets it forth. In Jesus' name, amen. God with us in skin. It's in his incarnation. Therefore, the Lord himself, and I'm gonna read these Scriptures. You have the Scriptures that you can yourself look up later if you want, but I'm going to actually read the Scriptures in your hearing. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. Also in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And many of you have been here that have been with us over the years have heard me say, this is the passage there in John that Christ saved me in. This is my cousin brought me to the Ecclesiastes to show me my sin, and rehearsed to me my sin. And then he brings me to John to tell me of the Savior that saves me from this sin. And I'm grateful for that. And my eyes were opened, were illuminated. It was not revelation. God already gave his revelation to John, and he gives it to us in the Scriptures. But it was an illumination. The light came on, and I saw it as what it was and embraced it. And if you've never embraced that, I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart this morning. That this season become not just a season, but it's a way of life. You see, Christmas is not a season. Christmas is a word, of course, we've given through the Latin and through the Catholic Church, but the main thing is Christ with us, God with us, is a life. That's the new life in Christ. I like what the Bible tells us, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men, and having being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of the death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus and every knee shall bow, and every in heaven and in earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is a beautiful passage. We see him come from glory. He's God, and he comes humble down to the cradle or the manger. And then before the passage is finished, he goes back to glory. From glory to glory we have in our Christ. He is not one, just a baby in a manger. Come closer to the cradle and see that he is not still there. Look and see the conquering king that's coming back. Look and see the cross that was shadowed over the cradle. Look, and Simeon says this when they come and they bring Jesus to him, and he speaks about him. Oh, he's the hope. He's the consolation of Israel. He is the hope that we've been waiting for. He says, now I'm ready to die. Listen, if you've not met Jesus, if you've not met this Christ, you're not ready to die. When he came to know him, he was ready to die. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, and the fear of death, which Satan always hangs over our head, man, that passes away. We don't have to fear to die when we know him, when we met the hope of our human beings. All human beings are in Christ Jesus. But then he goes and he turns to Mary and he says, but a sword will be placed in your heart through this one. But you can raise a godly child and still understand that they're going to have suffering in this world. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer tribulation. You see, you're not going to, if you're young people, by the way, if you yourself think you're going to follow Christ and not have difficulty, he'll bring a division in the family. And some of us know that and see that. But it's no reason to walk away from him. We're on the winning side. We're on the conquering king. Stay close to him. Dwell with him. You see, be the light. Be the salt that God wants you to be. And he says to Mary, you're going to suffer because of this godly one. You could have godly kids and still suffer. You could have ungodly kids and suffer. I'd rather have kids that are godly and suffer. You see. So God is with us in the incarnation. He became flesh. How we comprehend that? We'd be presumptuous to say we can totally comprehend it. We can't comprehend, but we're thanking God for it. Amen? He is that unspeakable gift that we get. Number two, God with us in a sovereign ruler. Look what Isaiah says. The unspeakable gift that God has given us, he says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom is established it, and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and evermore. the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And again, the Bible says, thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift, says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. I like what Henry Morris says. He says, and his gift to us must define all our gifts to him, which means there's no gift or no sacrifice that we can make that would even equal to what he's given us. So any sacrifice that we make, our very lives given to him, only reflect the gift that's been given to us and the giver. And sometimes we get all caught up in the gifts that he's given us, but it's the giver to whom we give grace and honor, we praise and honor to. And so this season, let us make sure that we not forget the giver as we contemplate the gifts. And the only gifts that we should maybe contemplate is what we may give as unto the Lord. Say, whatever it might be. There's no sacrifice too great. We wonder why. We see people, you know, why are you doing that? Why would you go to a foreign country, not know the language, not know the customs, and give your life to bring the gospel? Because Jesus is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worth it all. And so may we be a people who will indeed consider the ruler of all this universe and be conscious of the fact that we need to be conscious of the giver. Number three, God with us in Scripture, his inspiration and illumination. As we've already read there in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God and dwelt among us, and he made flesh. He is the... Years ago, I remember some of the people that were more predisposed to Ronald Reagan and really liked him. Do you remember what they called him? He's the great communicator. He communicated so well. Regard about the political aspects of it, friends, we've got the great communicator. That's God himself. And he has communicated in the inspired Word of God. He is the very Word of God. He is the one who goes even beyond the sacred page. He has communicated God's love, God's holiness to us, God's graciousness to us in Jesus Christ. That's what's communicated to us. When you look, when you come closer to the cradle, may you see that. May you see the cross. You see, truly, if I might add, truly the real Christmas tree was the cross in which he hung. You see, the true Christmas lights are we to be lights into the world, who Paul said in Philippians 2:15, we are to be lights, luminaries to this crooked and perverse generation. See? And by the way, we look at him and say, our generation. No. Every generation has been perverse because it's full of humans who are fallen. So every generation, Paul was saying it to the Corinthians, and he said it to the Philippians. He says it to us. And the Lord speaks to us and say, we are to be lights, luminaries. Actually, it's the word we get the word for phosphorus from. You see, that which glows. We are to glow. Not with our own light. See, we're like the moon in the sense the moon has no light in its own. It's reflecting the sun. You see. And unfortunately, in this world, what happens? What happens when the light gets clouded? You have an eclipse by the world. The world becomes between us, the earth, and the sun. And what happens? You have a deep shadow, you see. But we ourselves need to look to the Lord and not be eclipsed by this world. As the world is eclipsed by the world, we are not to be eclipsed by the world. We are to shine to this perverse and crooked. And so why should we be so... And again, I'm telling you right now, I get frustrated with this generation in which we live. Extremely just very difficult to see it, and to see it in children, in the young people, and even some of those who are acquiescent in our older generation, acquiescing to even the churches that are giving over to this present world's perverseness and lack of light. Grace Assembly, we're to be phosphorus. We're to be lights. We're to be the Christmas lights to the world that sheds light on not only the cradle, but the cross and his sovereign purposes for this world. So we have a sovereign ruler. We have scriptures that teaches. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice," Jesus says in Revelation 3:20. That's Christ speaking to his, who? To his church. He's outside his church, in this case here. Laodicean church, he's outside it. God forbid he be outside the church, but he be inside. He be God with us. So he becomes the focal point of our message, of how we see Christ in each other and care for each other. So the scriptures speak of him, and we ought to be not foolish. He says, and Jesus did say this, he says, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures of the things," what? "Concerning himself." Jesus goes back and he ransacks all of the Old Testament to show them himself. See, this is what we should be doing as believers, continuing to study the scriptures and to see Christ on every page and to be able to share it with people. And again, I'm grateful for having my cousin who led me to Christ was able to take me where I was and bring me to Christ, you see. Knowing what I knew and what I didn't know, he was able to do that. That's what every person in this room, God wants, as believers, wants us to be moving towards, being able to take the scriptures where they're from and bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ. Also, we have God with us in our service for him. Okay, this is the impartation of his power. In Matthew, we know the passage of that he's usually given. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth will be given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And what's he say? "And behold, I am with you always to the end of this age." There is a sense of his presence promised us as we bring the gospel to this present age. And we ought to embrace that. And when we see this, where he talks about all authority, Revelation chapter 5, when he says, they're standing there and they're saying, "Who is worthy to open up the scroll? Who is it that's worthy?" And he says, "There's the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He is worthy." See, and what is Jesus doing but taking the scroll of authority to all of this and then some? Heaven and earth, he's given all authority. So by the way, the Great Commission and the setting forth of the Gospel Grace Assembly, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. And it's a command, praise the Lord, that comes with power. That's a blessing, be able to do that. So you don't have to, we don't have to feel intimidated by this perverse and corrupt generation. But we can be lights and let our light so shine. So that is the impartation of his power and his presence in us and through us as he's commissioned us. Number five, God is with us in sin. Now, let me make sure I get this right off the top of what I'm going to say here. I'm not saying that the Lord is there participating in your sin. That's not what this passage is teaching, and hopefully most of us know that. "Surely he was borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Get this. Jesus had no sin in him, but he had our sin on him. And he was the only one, because any one of us, we got our own dealings. We got our own sin. None of us could die. No sheep, no person, no turtle doves, none of us. Because we people have our own sin. But he who was sinless took sin on him for our sake. And if you're here this morning, come closer to the cradle and see the cross. And on that cross, see your sin placed on him. For our sake, he says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect he has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then be with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What's the first thing man did? What is the first thing that Adam does when he falls? He hides. He's fearful to come to the Lord, you see. And there may be some here today who don't want to get in their Bible. They don't want to approach God in prayer. That's what sin will do. But realize what a Savior does. It brings you to him, you see. I had a discussion with a family member, a sweet discussion, and we're talking about this recently. And the person said to me, I am so grateful for a Savior. In tears, he says to me, I'm so grateful for a Savior. And we had a sweet time of prayer of knowing that. Yeah. Even in this confession time, of being able to come to the Lord. Look, man, he's taking care of death, and he's taking care of your sin. Man, come to him. Oh, come, ye old faithful, come to the cross. You see, that in the cradle. He's not still in the cradle. He's beyond that. He's to the cross, and he's the coming king. Also, God is with us by saving us from our sin, taking on our sin for us. And this is something people fight. There's some of the liberals against this now, you know. They've come to the idea of this, the imputed righteousness that we have. You understand that you have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's great. That's wonderful. I don't want the filthy rags. I don't come to him with filthy rags. I come to him clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And therefore, I can come boldly to the throne of grace, see, knowing that I've been covered by his righteousness. And my sin has been dealt with. And my sin, not only past, present, can have power to escape it, because he makes a way to escape the temptation. Come to him. Know that. Satan will tell you, forget it. That's what's interesting about Satan. He will give you an excuse. He excuses your sin. He confuses the scripture. And then he will turn around and accuse you when you do fall. He's wicked. He is your real enemy. He's the true enemy you have in this. He's the enemy. Not the person next to you, not the person that you at work. It's the enemy that will bring accusation to you. Come to the cross. Come to the cradle and see the cross. See the tree that he hung on. Number 6, God with us in supplication, in intercession. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation, or the payment of our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And we can get into what the connotation of the whole world means. We do know this gospel's for the world. It's for everybody. Even as we have the necessity for interpreting what Emmanuel means, hey, the world, it means God is with us in Christ Jesus. You And so we can be a people who, when we go to prayer, know that we have access to the throne. We don't have to be fearful of that. We can have an advocate with the Father, you see. I'm so grateful for having an advocate with the Lord. Number 7, God is with us in sorrow. By the way, this supplication and him being an advocate for us, this should drive us to our knees. It should cause us to want to pray more. And I don't know about you, but for me, I am sorrowful in my prayer life. Oh, one of my visions for 2020 is to pray more for you, pray more for my kids, pray more for the people and for you folks that don't know now, that Dr. Weider is now no longer with A&M. I am the director of Africa. Do you realize how big Africa is? It overwhelms me. And people say, okay, we're real excited about you coming in. Look, decades people have not been able to do anything with Africa. But I don't care what other people think or can say. I believe that the gospel can change Africa and African people. And that encourages me, and it causes me to pray for the ministry, and it causes me to pray for my own, and it causes me to pray for you as a people. As we go into 2020, God, may God give us a vision to be prayer warriors. God's arm is not short that it cannot save. And if you have a loved one or loved ones who are not saved, if you have people that live around you that are not saved, God can reach out to them and touch their heart. I don't care who they are. God can do that. And may we be people of prayer, of supplicating, enter into him. Satan wants to drive you away. That's why he is the accuser of the brethren. One of the things in Revelation 12, when he says that, he says, but we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? By the blood of the Lamb. Shed blood of Jesus Christ gives us access. And friends, I know I have to do that often. Say, you know what? Get ye behind me, Satan. I'm under the blood. And I'm coming to the throne boldly to ask and petition you for my loved ones and the people around me. Hey, you know, we pray for a lot of things, you know. We're almost like kids at Christmas, you know. We want this and we want that. You pray about what you want to pray, but you better be praying about your spiritual life and the spiritual life of other people. That's really what we should be about with the church, okay? I'm not trying to downplay praying for people's wellness and health and so forth. That's fine. But let's not leave aside their spiritual poverty if they're without Christ. God with us in sorrow. He is identification with us. He was despised and rejected by men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him as not. Remember that Jesus wept. Jesus has a burden for us. He does enter in. How that happens when he's God and he's got it all under control and he is sovereign, how that happens, I don't know. But the Bible says it. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and yet he still entered in to their hurt. Still entered in with compassion for their sorrow. And we have such a one. And we need to go to him. He does care. He understands. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. You know, my struggle is sometimes, there's sometimes people will come to me, and I got to say, Lord, help me to forget all this other stuff around me. Help me to focus on this person's hurt. Because I'm too selfish to do it in my flesh. I'm just being frank with you. There's times I'm just too selfish to enter into your hurt. I have to ask God's grace to do that. And I want to do it more. And that's my desire. Is to enter into that. He can give us the supernatural capacity to do that because it's our pride, it's our selfish. We're about self. Ultimately, we're about self. And only the cross and the blood of Christ can set that aside and give us a true eyes of Christ as we deal with people and their hurt and their difficulty. Finally, God is with us in our sanctification. He's indwelling us. And we know that all things who love... Now, notice this. We forget sometimes when Romans 8:28, we forget Romans 8:29, the purpose of Romans 8:28. He says, and we know that all those who love God, all things will work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. The purpose of all things working together for good is that we may be conformed to the image of Jesus. That way, some things that come upon us they're like a Brillo pad. They rub us the wrong way, and we go through difficulty, and we go through struggles, and we're broken down so that we can lift it up. We're broken down in our natural state so that we can be lifted up in his supernatural power, that we become more like Christ. No. Let this mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. Humble ourselves before God's work in our lives, realizing, and sometimes it's discipline. Let's face it. If you're a true child of God, the Bible says if you're an illegitimate child, maybe you're not disciplined. But if you're a true child of God, he disciplines us. Why? Because all these things are working together for our good. What's the ultimate good for us? One, salvation. Two, is to be more like Jesus. That's the ultimate good. That's what you need for Christmas all year round. That's what I need, is to be more like Christ. And sometimes it hurts, just like it hurt him at times to be all that he wanted to be for us in this world. And I'm sure of this, that he that began a good work in you will bring it to completion the day of Christ. Again, God with us, in us, who is the Holy Spirit, who also wrote the scriptures, is working in us. That's God with us as we accept Christ. So, we have God with us in skin, that's the incarnation. We have God with us as the ruler, a sovereign ruler of all this world. The unspeakable gift. And I think about the unspeakable gift. Do you ever see those little, years ago I did this in our church in Pennsylvania. I packaged all these little gifts within the gift. And I had these little kids come up, and as we unpacked Isaiah 9, each one, they put out a sign, you know, he is the mighty counselor and so forth, the mighty God, the wonderful counselor. And just showing that. The problem with that is I always had to make each one of them smaller. You ever see those little dolls with all them little dolls inside the doll, and they're all the same? And we can't do that because it doesn't. But supernaturally, with each one of these gifts, none of them are less than the other. They're all big, and they're all within the great package of Christ. And that's just the beginning of it. And we unpack that our whole lives. Our whole Christian life is unpacking this unspeakable, this gift that's almost unexplainable. We have that in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for the fact that you are with us. You're ever with us. May we practice this present all year round. May we realize the wonder of it all. And Lord, you just scratch the surface, just touching the hem of the garment. Thank you that you're God with us. Challenge each of our hearts to be more for you and have more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me encourage